Jude, you're a natural. Kate drumrolled on the desk. Jessica squealed next to Phoenix, and another male reporter next to Jude low-fived her. Everyone was rooting for the new kid. And I was the one screwing her, both over and her pussy. All right, let's not cream our pants because Judith can read text messages and follow simple leads. I waved everyone back to work. 4 hours later, we wrapped up one of the most outrageous news shows we'd ever produced, with James Townley's name blowing up on Twitter like he had a sex tape featuring three NFL stars and a circus clown. Everyone was talking about hashtag LeakGate. Coincidentally, the top floor of LBC had never been quieter. I knew Matias had brought Jude to my newsroom to stir shit, and in a sick twist of fate, not only had she turned out to be immune to his nouveau riche charm, but she also left mouthwatering news at my office doorstep every single day like a loyal feline. Granted, knowing my father, I was positive he had more tricks up his sleeve to try to shit all over my progress at LBC. When I got back home, I scheduled a cab for Judith. Normally, I didn't liaise with people, but I couldn't exactly ask my PA to send my reporter back to my building. I still had time to burn, so I went down to the building's gym, punched a bag, sat in the steam room, and then had a shower. I slid into a pair of dark jeans and a white V-neck shirt, and decided I didn't want Jude to be hungry, cranky, or distracted when I defiled her face and ass, so I figured it would be in my best interest to feed her before I had my way. That was my line of thought as I poured out onto my well-lit street. Chinese? Didn't feel like GMO breath all over my cock and sheets. Indian? Potential nut allergies. Greek? You can never go wrong with Mediterranean food, but Lily used to complain that the place took a fucking year to deliver. I briefly entertained the idea of texting Jude and asking, but ruled that out immediately. Last thing I needed was for her to think it was a date. Instead, I walked the extra 10 minutes to the nearest Italian place and ordered every pasta dish on the menu. I'd seen her eating it last night, in what certainly wasn't one of my finer moments, so she must not be one of those no-gluten, no-flour, no-carbs, no-joy type of girls. Never mind that I was privy to this information because apparently I could add stalking to my list of traits. By the way, picking food for Lily was akin to performing heart surgery on a jellyfish. When I rounded to my street carrying the bags of food, Judith was already standing at the building's entrance, tapping her foot and nodding to whatever she was listening to on her phone. What are you listening to, Chucks? I wiggled my wrist and glanced at my Rolex. 30 minutes. It had taken me 30 fucking minutes to get food, during which time she'd been waiting outside the building door. I didn't have to wonder why she hadn't called. My phone was set to silent. News people checked their phones once a minute, so tolerating the added ping of every message and email was pure masochism. The minute Judith spotted me, she shook her head and turned the other direction, walking away from me. You're a pig. Then I hope you like bacon, because I'm on the menu tonight, Chucks. I didn't bother defending myself. I was many things, but not a liar. Besides, she was even more gorgeous when she was mad, with her swollen pink lips and dark blonde eyelashes and compact everything. She was halfway down my block when she turned around and waltzed back to me, like she'd remembered something. Her frown melted into a look of astonishment. I stopped in front of her, my palms facing out, the white plastic bags hanging from my fingers dripping olive oil.
What's in the boxes?
She jutted her chin to the takeout. Body parts.
Always a charmer.
Can you ask that again, but dramatically, a la Brad Pitt in Seven? I expected her to roll her eyes at me like Lily did every time I teased her for being overdramatic. Instead, Jude turned around, giving me her back, then spun theatrically.
What's in the boxes?
She pretended to point a gun at me, and for the first time in years, yes, years, I actually laughed. Full-blown fucking cackled. It felt weird on my face, in my chest, in my lungs. Italian.
Blah, anticlimactic.
But her smile didn't waver. She really wanted to be pussy-slapped with all this sass. I put down one of the bags to punch in the security code. She picked it up like it was the most natural thing in the world. Lily would have died in the hands of sadists before helping me carry leaky takeout home. Speaking of Lily, as we walked toward the elevators, I considered that my ex might be here, dropping by for another unwanted visit. She knew I was seeing other people, but I never went as far as bringing anyone to my apartment. Judith, however, wasn't just a fuck. She was the fuck. I could keep her for years if it wasn't for the fact that girls like Jude would never settle. This was a lapse in her judgment. She would come on my dick and then around and then realize she deserved so much better. Upstairs, we tore into the bags and ate pasta and pizza in front of the news, exchanging thoughts and opinions. After she ate her weight in carbs, Jude asked where the bathroom was. I pointed to the end of the hallway, then gathered all the empty containers and bags, throwing them in the trash. I stared down at my hands. They were still shaking from the taxi incident this morning. I knocked back a shot of vodka, chasing it with an Advil. Then I realized the shower in the main bathroom had been turned on. What the fuck? I padded barefoot down the hallway, knocking on the door. Everything good?
Yes!
She shrieked.
Fine, great, splendid. I'll think of more synonyms in a second.
Are you taking a shower? It was out of character for Jude to do anything without permission. She was straight as a ruler, which was why bending her over was my favorite pastime.
Actually,
I'll join you. There had been a lot of eating and talking and not enough fucking this evening. And I think she'd had her quota of whining and dining. I'd been fantasizing about shoving my cock between her legs every minute during our workday. Waiting longer was pointless.
I'd rather you not.
She cleared her throat. A slow grin spread on my face. Chucks, are you?
No!
She screeched, knocking something over. A shampoo, maybe.
Of course not. Jesus Christ, I would never-
Take a shit? Yes, you would. Otherwise you'd die of constipation. Tell me why you can't open the door or I'll kick it down. She turned off the water and I heard her shuffling in the room before she opened the door. Her dress was bunched up around her waist and she was gloriously pantyless. She stared at me with strawberry red face, her cupid's bow lips pressed into a scowl I shouldn't have found so goddamn adorable. Need your diaper changed? I leaned a shoulder against the doorframe. She was somewhat younger than me, but not enough for me to give a fuck. Her fingers looped together and she stared down at them.
I just wanted to make sure I'd freshened up down there before you...
It was my second time to laugh today, and that must have been some sort of record. My body was rejecting the laugh, though, I swear, because I actually coughed. Carry on, finish the sentence.
Well, in case you wanted to, I don't know, perform oral. It's been a long day, I didn't want to smell bad.
I took a step inside and cupped both her cheeks, angling her face up to look at me. Her eyes were a wild shade of hazel green and suddenly sterling gray, like the universe had wrapped around her pupils. Lizard-like, really. She bit her lower lip and stared up at my mouth. I called you here because I want to eat your pussy and fuck your brains out, and I want your pussy to smell and taste like a pussy, not like soap. Her tongue swiped over her lower lip, pink chasing more and more of her skin as her blush deepened.
You talk dirty.
I fuck dirtier, kid. Now, if you want to take a shower, you're welcome to, but first I need my dessert. I cupped her bare pussy, my palm pressed against her mound, my fingers already grazing her entrance. My other hand wrapped around her waist and jerked her to my erect cock. She quivered against my body as the rough pads of my fingers dragged along her slit, dripping like honey.
Soaked.
I hissed into her mouth, pinching her clit, then plunging three fingers deep inside her and curling them to hit her G-spot. And delicious.
Jesus.
She started, then clamped her mouth shut. I lifted an eyebrow in question. She laughed, biting down on that lip again. One day I will bite it off for you, Chucks.
I promised Jesus I'd stop using his name in vain when you and I are together.
You're one weird girl, Judith Humphrey.
But a good Christian.
She winked. She wasn't going to stick around for long, and I knew it. Some asshole who was available, handsome, and not fucking engaged was going to whisk her away, and I wouldn't be able to say shit about it because I was promised to another. I plunged my fingers into her pussy again and brought them to my lips, tasting her. In the shower, I growled. She climbed up the elegant gray stone steps to the glass shower door and opened it. The floor was made of real pebbles, and she wiggled her toes at the weird texture, a snicker escaping her lips. I lived in a three-bedroom apartment in the most expensive part of the city, while she was struggling to make ends meet and pay the bills on her shitty old shoebox in an up-and-coming neighborhood. Yet this was the first time she'd reacted to any of the fancy shit in my place. She stared at me expectantly, wondering if I'd join her. I tucked one hand into my jeans and leaned against the sink. Take off your dress. She did. She wore a simple cotton bra underneath it. Her first mistake. I squeezed my cock through my briefs lazily. I said no bra. That's your first pussy spank. Turn the shower on. She did with quivering fingers. She disconnected the sprayer from its hub and pressed it against her tits and stomach, closing her eyes and enjoying the warm streams of water. Lower, I commanded. She lowered the sprayer to her navel. I wouldn't test me, Chucks. She groaned, sliding it down and pressing it against her sweet, tight pussy, which was mostly shaved, just a landing strip of fair blonde hair leading to my final destination. My dick throbbed, aching with primal need, and now I was full-blown stroking myself, fascinated by how different she was in the office than when we fucked. Inside. The sprayer was less than the size of an iPod, because I had 8 of them in the shower pointing from different directions. She could easily fit it into her cunt and even take a few of my fingers in, too. She stared at me defiantly, her nipples puckering into little pebbles.
No,
she moaned. That's your second pussy slap. Jude smirked. I knew she'd be into it, but I'd expected her to be more sheepish about it. At any rate, this playlist-building, dirty headlines-finding girl was going to get screwed extra hard tonight. Put it in now, or you'll be getting more surprises I'm not entirely sure you're ready for, I said, squeezing my cock until it pushed back into my hand involuntarily, begging for release. Working on it, Junior. Jude slipped the sprayer into her pussy and shuddered at the invasion. Now fuck yourself with it and beg me to be the one doing this to you. She moved the sprayer in and out, trembling at the pleasure of the fast stream coating her walls, and I was just about ready to die here against the sink and let her inherit all of my shit. The girl was a lioness at work and a lamb in bed, the perfect combination for a predator like me. I wanted to fight her when we were in the office and fuck her when we were anywhere else. But it was the in-between part that worried me. Because I wanted to monopolize every second of her life, even when we weren't doing either.
Oh, God,
she moaned. Celian, I corrected. Call me by my name, tell me what you want me to do.
I want you to screw me,
she whimpered, into her own shoulder, squeezing her eyes shut, her orgasm brewing, making her legs shake. I wished I wasn't such a bastard in this moment. Stop. But I was.
What?
She stuttered, still masturbating with the sprayer. I was so hard now I could barely think clearly. All my blood had rushed to my dick, and if you'd asked me for my own name, I'd have had trouble answering. Stop right now. A raspy growl slithered between my lips. She opened her eyes, confused, but slowly removed the sprayer from her pussy. Turn it off and get to my bedroom. Don't dry yourself off. I turned around and walked away. I perched on the edge of my bed, pushing my sleeves up and tapping my thigh. She appeared at my door seconds later, dripping water all over my floor, her hair wet and her eyes wide as she scanned my black and gray accented bedroom and gold silk comforter. Maman had brought it over from her last trip to Paris. Her friend Isabel had gifted it to me, and my mother had been about to faint. She'd been so proud of her wonderful son, who'd left such a great impression on her friend all those years ago when she'd visited us in Nantucket. I'd spared my mother the fact that Isabel was so fond of me because she'd popped my cherry when I was 14, while they were both drunk and Maman had stumbled off to make sure Matthias wasn't fucking any more of the staff. Such was my life, a great colossal mess. In my lap. I slapped my hard thigh. She began to walk over to me, but I shook my head gravely before she got too far. Crawl. She stopped, hesitated, and flashed me a feral look I'd never seen on her face before. It was somehow both rebellious and submissive. She knew she should say no, but her body was more than ready to comply.
It will mean nothing outside this bedroom. I'm still your equal, Celian.
I never said you weren't.
I want to make sure you don't think that either, just because I like being bossed around in bed by me.
I stopped her. You like to be bossed around by me, not by just any fucker on the street. On your knees, Judith. And there it was, the most beautiful sight known to man. A lethally attractive, insanely intelligent woman begging to be fucked. She lowered herself, advancing toward me on her knees, her tits dangling between her arms. She stopped, her face level with my cock. I patted my thigh again. Up, with your mouth wrapped around my cock and your ass high in the air. I lowered my jeans and briefs and watched as her lips wrapped around my veiny cock, barely taking my girth. I slapped her bare ass without warning. It was playful, but still did the trick. A few drops of cum escaped just from the intense pleasure of having her there, catering to my every whim, wanting everything I gave her, including the painful shit I would never share with anyone else, much less a one-night stand. She whimpered quietly, her mouth full of my erection. Just to make sure she liked it, I slid my fingers into her pussy and found it dripping all over her inner thighs. Yes, pussy slapping and Jude were a match made in my kinky brain's heaven. When I tell you to get rid of your bra before you get here, you get rid of your bra. The next slap wasn't so playful anymore, but still nowhere near the hardcore shit. She was just getting used to moving her lips along my shaft and clutching the base. She moaned into my cock, and again I sneaked my hand down and borrowed some of the wetness dripping along her leg and over the golden comforter, rubbing it over her ass cheek to soothe the pain away. And this is for uttering the word no during foreplay. What else? I'm sure we can find reasons to punish you if we try. She unlatched her mouth from my cock and looked up, grinning at me with her mouth so swollen and red I couldn't help but sneak in a dirty kiss.
One day, when you made Brianna cry, I hid your laptop in the conference room.
That had been her? I'd looked for that thing for 3 hours. My open palm landed on her ass cheek again. She whimpered, her knees quivering with lust, and the smell of sex was so heavy in the air we both got drunk on it. She looked back up. I stole another kiss, my dick throbbing between her tits.
Sometimes when I get off by myself, I think about Noah from IT.
I had no idea who Noah from IT was. I just knew he was newly unemployed. I slapped her ass again and this time bit her earlobe. Not gently, for good measure. Give me his full name, I growled. She laughed, throwing her head back.
There's no Noah in IT. I mean, maybe there is, but I don't know him.
Tell me more. I began to gather the wetness in her pussy and play with her asshole. This time I added some extra pressure and slid my index finger in and out every once in a while, keeping her engaged the whole time.
I did give a guy my number the other day. At a diner when I went to get coffee for Gray and Ava.
My jaw twitched and I slapped her ass again. Not funny.
It wasn't supposed to be.
I knew there was nothing I could do about that information, not unless I was willing to make some major changes in my life. I slipped two fingers into her asshole, and she tensed around them. I could already feel how perfect she'd be once my fat cock was buried deep in her backside. You're wasting your time. No one can beat this, and you know it.
I'm willing to try.
She moaned, pushing her ass toward my hand, begging for more. More fingers, more pressure, more us. I stood up and let her fall on my bed head first. I slapped the side of her ass and pushed my knee between her hamstrings, signaling her to lift it up in the air. She complied, biting my sheets, her eyes squeezed shut. I pushed my cock between her ass cheeks and looped her long, wavy locks around my fist, pulling her head up so I could whisper in her ear. You're going to change your number when we're done here. She laughed erotically, her neck extended, long and delicate. I let go of her hair to squeeze it just a little, fingering her anus again to make sure it was lubricated enough with her juices.
I think I'm going to give him a chance, actually. He seems like a nice guy. Available, too.
I thrust into her all at once, knowing it was wrong, knowing it was a punishment, not a reward. A mixture of pleasure, agony, and guilt making my abs tighten against the mound of her ass. She was mine, with a capital M. It wasn't a request, a plea, or a hope, but a simple fact. Her eyes confirmed it, her body sang it, and if she thought I was in the business of sharing, she obviously needed a sore reminder that I wasn't. She lurched forward from my thrust, standing on all fours, and purred as I pounded into her tight asshole. So impossibly snug I could feel it milking the orgasm out of me with a vice-like grip. I slipped my hand down her stomach to find her swollen clit. She quivered under my arm. Fuck. I bit the tip of her ear. Fuck, Judith, fuck. She groaned, her ass meeting my hip bones again and again, challenging me thrust for thrust, push for push, touch for touch. Just another day in the newsroom. Me pushing, her pulling. Both of us chasing the feeling only the other person could give. Fuck the guy who'd gotten her phone number. Fuck him and all the other men in New York.
I need to quit you,
she mumbled to herself. I need to own you. Her body convulsed under me, crusting and tipping deeper into oblivion with every plunge, and I couldn't help it. I had to do it. I bit the back of her neck like an animal, a savage, a delinquent, and plastered a palm over her throat, bringing her up so we were both standing on our knees as I shot my load inside her perfect milky white ass. She let out a scream that echoed inside my mostly empty bedroom as we both climaxed. A few seconds later, she collapsed on my bed, spineless and thoroughly fucked. I fell next to her, facing the opposite wall. My default strategy was to pussy block pillow talk and avoid eye contact. It wasn't personal. I'd done that to Lily, too, back when we were together. I planked, just turning around to look at her face, when the words left her mouth.
I should go.
I'll call a cab. My ego was fucking me harder than I'd fucked her, and that said a lot about its stamina.
It's okay,
I'll drive you. I changed my mind. She hated me spending money on her, but giving her a ride didn't cost shit. Of course, it did require me to move my car from the garage for the first time in a fucking decade. She nodded, her face solemn. I'd never really entertained the idea of having a woman stay over. The one and only time I'd done some actual sleeping with a woman in the past year was, oddly, with Jude, at the hotel suite. That time was different because I knew she didn't want to go back to wherever she was supposed to be and didn't take it personally. Besides, we'd hardly cuddled and whispered sweet nothings in each other's ears. I'd just crashed. And by the time I woke up with a raging hard-on and a mission in mind to fuck her into a coma, she was already gone.
You know, I caught my boyfriend cheating on me, too. It made me feel like the world was ending.
I clasped a lock of her hair and fingered it. Pure gold. I went through the same shit, maybe even 10 times worse, seeing as the guy who was fucking my girl was very familiar to me.
Did it?
She chuckled.
I'm still here, aren't I?
Doesn't necessarily mean shit. Have you talked to him since?
No, not since that call. I have zero tolerance toward cheaters, unlike some people I know.
I deserved that. You can stay over. I ignored her jab. The daily trip to Brooklyn is bullshit. I can give you the spare key.
Am I fucking high?
What was in that pasta? I only had one shot. Still, I couldn't find it in myself to take any of those words back. Judith tucked her yellow hair behind her ears and ran her pearly whites over her lower lip. She seemed to consider it. It was a relief not to get shut down immediately, since the suggestion in itself was ludicrous.
That's not a good idea.
She paused, flipping on her cell phone and checking the time. It was well after 11.
I will take that ride back home, though, if it's still on the table.
It is.
Let me get my dress and wash my face.
She hopped out of the bed, all business, like we were back at work. I watched her perky white ass jiggling in my hallway. I closed my eyes. A gust of air with the scent of her shampoo and body lotion caressed my nose, and I took a deep, greedy breath.
Not good, not good, not good.
Her phone was between the sheets, beeping with new text messages. Brianna.
Thanks for helping me with the filing today, XOXO.
Grayson.
If I were a Victoria's Secret model, which one would I be?
Ava.
Going to get my nipple pierced this weekend, wish me luck. Did that cute guy call you yet?
I grabbed it, took out the SIM, and split it in half before inserting it back into her phone and smashing the whole thing against the floor. If that guy wanted Judith, he'd have to look for her the old-fashioned way, among the 8 million residents of New York. Break a leg, buddy.
Chapter 13. Jude. One day I noticed Dad's face was no longer the same pale shade as the bathroom wall. He was going through something called adoptive cell transfer therapy. The treatments were invasive and uncomfortable, but every time he came back home, he smiled bigger than the last time. He was still weak, he was still gray, but he no longer spoke like he was ready to die, but too ashamed to let go of life because he knew how much I needed him. And that made my heart sore. We spent more and more time out of the house, short trips around the block, arm in arm, admiring the Festival of Colors as New York burst into full-blown summer. Green leaves rustled above our heads, and barefoot children ran around the neighborhood, pointing hoses at each other and spreading wild laughter like confetti. Flowers unfurled in their sleepy beds at the edges of our neighborhood sidewalks. I still hadn't told Dad I knew about Celian, and I intended to keep it that way. Even though we were cautiously optimistic, there was a good chance the treatment wouldn't work. In which case, I would forever blame myself for confronting him about lying to me and trying to save both of us, when really I should have been cherishing every moment with him. So I chose to do that instead of picking a fight.
"Are you going to the library today?"
Dad asked. "Yeah, I need to catch up on some reading material for work. Why?"
"Oh, we got an invitation from Mrs. Hawthorne to come watch that new Jack Nicholson movie. She's making Irish stew. But of course, you don't have to come."
"I'll take a pass. I think you'll have a good time by yourselves anyway." I knocked my shoulder against his, smiling brightly.
"It's not what you think."
"You don't know what I think." Dad had never dated after Mom died, and not for my lack of trying to fix him up with people. I'd spent the majority of my college years trying to get him to sign up on dating sites before he got sick. I was desperate for him to be happy and never wanted him to think he shouldn't be on my account.
"It's really just a movie and dinner."
"Dinner? I thought it was a lunch thing." We stopped by the grocery store on the corner of our street, and he blushed. Actually blushed. I was almost giddy with excitement. Such a natural human reaction, but on his pale, ill skin, it looked like a glorious sunrise.
"Don't worry. I have other plans for the afternoon. How's Milton?"
He scratched his head.
"Right. Milton."
It had been several weeks since I'd mentioned him to Dad. Then again, he'd very rarely dragged his butt to Brooklyn even when we were dating. Dad wasn't too suspicious, because I worked insane hours. It still felt like I was barely at home to spend time with him. I didn't want to explicitly lie to him, but this lie had gotten so big it felt almost criminal to come clean at this point, especially on this beautiful sunny day when we were both happy and smiling. "He's good, Dad." I pulled him into a hug. "Taking names and kicking ass at the Thinking Man." Not technically a lie. Our mutual so-called friends had been happy to break the news that Milton had recently been promoted to junior editor. For them, it was more reason for me to get down from the ego tree I'd climbed up and take him back. For me, it was yet more proof of the fact that he was still sleeping with his boss. Of course, I wasn't a big enough hypocrite to point that out. "My cell is broken at the moment, so I'm going to call you when I get to the library from the public phone. I'll try you here and at Mrs. Hawthorne's, so please be available." 2 hours later, I was walking to the subway on my way to the library. I'd dressed down, embracing the fact that it wasn't a work day. I felt juvenile and reckless in skull-themed chucks. The world felt lighter when you wore flannel shirts, ripped jeans, and a messenger bag. I adjusted the strap over my shoulder, about to enter the station, when someone honked their horn behind me. Rolling my eyes, I proceeded.
"Judith!"
The commanding tone found its way straight to my core, making my stomach swirl with delicious heat. Jesus Christ, what was he doing here?
"Jesus, didn't you say something a while back about hitting Sunday Mass sometime in the next decade? Maybe you could take your foul-mouthed, engaged boss with you."
I turned around slowly, feigning annoyance, because the alternative was showing him how much I cared, how much it affected me to see him here, in Brooklyn. On a Sunday. Take that, Milton. Celion sat in his silver Mercedes-Benz in a navy short-sleeved sports shirt, his Ray-Bans tipped down to examine me.
"What are you doing here?"
I narrowed my eyes. I hadn't spoken to him since the phone incident. We'd talked business in the office, but every time he'd tried to pretend like that night hadn't happened, like he hadn't broken my phone just because I'd exchanged numbers with some random guy at a diner, I turned around and walked away.
"You can't keep ignoring me."
"Pretty sure I can. Exhibit A, this conversation."
"I'm your boss."
"Precisely, and you crossed a lot of lines."
"You could have made a great lawyer."
"Not satisfied with my performance as a reporter?"
"Quite the contrary. As a booty call, however, you do a lousy job."
"Good. Consider this my official resignation." He lifted his hand, waving a brand new cell phone. It was the new model that had just come out a hot minute ago and was already out of stock.
"With 12 cases in different colors to suit your mood,"
he shot me his devastatingly charming smirk.
Truce? Never, but I do need a phone. This was a gift I was willing to accept, solely because he was responsible for the untimely death of my previous phone. It had been a rough few days without one, but I wasn't exactly swimming in money to buy a replacement. I'd had to arrive at work even earlier and leave slightly later to make sure I wasn't needed or MIA. And at home, I checked my email every half hour. He clutched the new device to his chest, and mine tightened in response.
Come get it, Chux.
He was blocking the traffic, and someone honked behind him. 3 long beeps. You want to get her number? Park like a goddamn man and let us through, someone yelled behind him. Celion ignored the guy completely, ruthlessly entitled to the bone. No thanks, I resumed my walk to the subway. He began to drive slowly beside me, not unlike a creeper. I rolled my eyes, but couldn't help but feel a little satisfaction at the way he'd been chasing me the last few days. He'd even come down to the 5th floor to fetch me from lunch with Ava and Grayson, muttering an excuse about an urgent meeting, when really all he'd wanted was to ask if we could see each other that night. The answer, by the way, had been a big fat no.
I want to show you something.
His car was blocking a long line of vehicles now. You already showed me plenty, I muttered, secretly liking that people were still honking at him and that for the first time in our relationship, he was the one out of sorts.
Get your mind out of the gutter. I mean geographically.
Would you like to dazzle me with your rich boy Hampton's house? Show me another glitzy hotel you own? I made grand hoity-toity gestures with my hands as I walked. 4. You're acting like a 4-year-old. That wasn't Jesus speaking, just me.
In the fucking car, Chux.
Say the magic word.
My cock.
I made a gagging sound.
I agree, it is abnormally big, but I haven't heard any complaints.
The magic word, I repeated.
Please.
The word rolled off his tongue like it was in a foreign language. Whoops, still a no. My determined stroll slowed when his catcalling stopped. Had he given up on me? I took a few more steps before a hand grabbed my wrist. I looked up. He was smirking darkly, his thick eyebrows drawn together. Grayson was right. This is kidnapping, I said as Celion yanked me toward his car. He'd parked in the middle of the street, blocking approximately 13 cars now, all of them honking. Some had tried to reverse and slip out of the road. To say Celion didn't give a crap would be a stretch. I got into his car and buckled up, mainly because I didn't want anyone to put a bullet in his head for his behavior. He started driving and strapped in as he did, not wasting any time. Where are we going? I asked.
You'll see.
You never apologized for the phone.
I do. I am. It wasn't my finest moment. I would say I didn't mean it, but lying on top of breaking your shit would really be rude. You shouldn't have exchanged numbers with another man. I've been dutifully faithful to you from the moment my tongue touched your crack.
I threw my hands in the air. You're engaged, psycho.
It's not real.
It is to me.
Bullshit. You wouldn't touch a taken man, and we both know it. We aren't cheaters.
Does that mean we're in some sort of a relationship in your weird mind?
Not a relationship, but an arrangement, yes. Do you think you can handle that?
I laughed bitterly. I can't fall in love, Celion. I'm broken.
Good. Let's be broken together, then.
He threw the phone into my hands. It was fully charged and ready to be used. It should have made me happy, but it didn't. I enjoyed having sex with him and butting heads with him in the newsroom. But what was the point of all this? Love might not be in the cards for me, but I was getting more attached, setting myself up to get hurt more than I already was.
Open the glove compartment, he said, still staring at the busy road ahead.
And yet again, I had the feeling he knew exactly what I was thinking. I opened the glove compartment. What am I looking for?
Morrissey.
I patted the mostly empty space, my hand coming to rest on the familiar shape of my iPod. I yanked it out and squeaked. My precious iPod, with the thousands of songs I'd collected over the years, was back in my hand, and it felt glorious.
Did someone find it at the hotel? I turned to him.
Yes, I did, the night you bailed on me.
I frowned. Why did you never give it back? He shot me a look I couldn't decode, maybe bewildered, verging on annoyed?
You stole something from me, so I stole something from you.
Huh. I sat back, considering this. He rubbed his jaw.
Who's Kipling?
Kipling was my notebook, but of course I didn't miss an opportunity to mess with him. A friend.
A good friend?
I nodded.
Very. How long have you known him?
I grinned at this. I didn't know if Celion was aware he was jealous, but I saw it from the outside. Long enough. We drove into Manhattan and parked at his building. He rounded the car, took a duffel bag from the trunk, and we went up to the ground floor and out to the street. Where are we going? I asked, as he flung the duffel bag over his shoulder, looking royally pissed and completely disturbed by what we were doing.
On a date.
He sighed, like I was forcing him to hang out with me at gunpoint.
Huh?
I laughed. I'd ignored him for just over 4 days, and he was taking me on a date now? Imagine what would happen if I actually went through with what my brain told me I should do on a daily basis and cut things off with him completely.
I'm taking you on a date. What's not to understand?
What's with the duffel bag? Is that in case you're bad at romancing and have to kill me before I tell anyone? We rounded the corner to Central Park West and headed straight to the meadow. He scoffed.
I can charm the panties off of a nun.
Charming your way into underwear and into hearts are two different skills.
I'm a good multitasker.
Not to mention I haven't agreed to date you. You never even asked, I pointed out.
I thought it was a given.
Why?
You gave me backdoor access, a woman's version of expensive jewelry.
Anyone ever told you you're a delusional piece of work? He smirked.
Is that an actual question? I can count on one hand the number of people I know who haven't called me that.
Just because I like it when you boss me in bed doesn't mean I want to be with you. I blushed, fighting the urge to look down and break eye contact. He stopped at the John Lennon Memorial, where the word imagine looked back up at us. Imagine that Mom is wrong, that I am capable of falling in love, that I am heading into a collision of feelings, that lust and heartache are going to crash together soon and tragedy will explode. He laced his fingers in mine, turned me around to face him, and tapped my nose, his lips tilted up arrogantly.
You have skulls on your shoes.
You have skulls in your eyes.
Are we feeling morbid today, Chucks?
No, just deadly. The park was swarming with people. Clusters of tourists, couples, cyclists, parents, and children. Even though Celion wasn't clad in his usual expensive suit, we still looked so different. For one thing, he was 10 inches taller, 10 years older, and reeked of a privileged air I lacked in every way. I had dressed like a teenager. He'd dressed like a millionaire. And the way he stood, tall and proud, made people stop and stare. He put his mouth on mine and kissed me in front of everyone, soft and slow and seductive. Kissed me like no one was around, like we were alone in this city, this park, this planet. He pressed a possessive hand over the small of my back and jerked me to his body. Then he caressed my cheek. His lips dragged from my lips to my ear, and he whispered,
"This is where I went every time my parents fought. Every time Matthias blamed me for being the little snitch who'd killed his marriage. This is where I went when we started fighting physically. And this is where I went when I knew he would have his staff driving around looking for me. They never came into Central Park. This was my place."
My heart fluttered inside my ribcage, and I saw Celion not only as the man he wanted people to see, but also as the person he really was. Not completely broken, but definitely cracked enough for pain to spill through the fissures. We unpacked the duffel bag under a huge tree. Celion was surprisingly organized for our picnic. We spread a blanket, and he took out grapes, cheese, crackers, wine, and fancy chocolate. I told him there was no way he'd done this himself, and he admitted he'd given his housekeeper pot in exchange for these goodies. I laughed, and he threw a grape at my face. It made me laugh harder. The sun was glorious, and I laid on the blanket and stared back at the sky, munching on almond chocolate that melted between my fingers. He sat next to me, staring at me intently, like he expected me to get up and run away any second, like I could evaporate into thin air, like sharing this place with me meant something to him. "How was your relationship with Camille?" I asked. I'd always wanted a sibling. Unfortunately, my mom got sick shortly after I was born. She won the first round of breast cancer, the second one too. By the third, her body was too exhausted to fight. But I knew my parents had always wanted more kids. He smirked at the blue sky, like the clouds had cleared up especially for us.
"We were a team. Maybe because Maman was busy running around with her lovers, and Matthias made a point of sticking his dick into everything with a pulse, we figured out early on that we had to have each other's backs to survive."
I nodded. "You must miss her very much."
"Losing someone close defines you. I trust you know that by now." "I'm sorry about your mother," he said, and he meant it.
I appreciated him not extending his condolences to my dad. Some people did when they heard about the cancer. I looked down and stared at a chocolate cube, slowly melting in my hand, gluing my forefinger and thumb together. I think I wanted to marry Milton, just so I'd have someone to catch me in case I fall, you know? He stuck his hand in my hair and leaned down to kiss my forehead.
"I do. But falling into the wrong hands is just as bad as crashing into nothing."
His phone, sitting between us, buzzed, and I looked down at it. The name Lily Davis flashed, making my heart sink. He hit ignore and tossed the phone to the other side of the blanket. "You can answer it if you need to. Don't cry."
"I don't need to."
"I will never understand your relationship with her."
"That makes the two of us."
"So end it," I wanted to scream. His phone started dancing on the blanket again. I rose on my forearms as he sent the call to voicemail once again. "I want to go home."
"Chucks."
His phone began to vibrate for the third time. Celian muttered, "Jesus Christ," and shoved it in the duffel bag, zipping it shut and throwing it against the tree. He sucked his bottom lip into his mouth.
"Hey, hey."
I stood and began to clean everything up. He didn't say anything else until we'd arrived at his building. I continued toward the train station, and he groaned, easily catching up with my steps.
"Let me get your ass home."
"Leave me alone, Celian." I stopped. Hot anger bubbled and sizzled behind my ribcage. "Huh? How about that? How about stop doing this thing where you treat me like I mean something, only to go and marry someone else? Because it doesn't matter that you don't love her or touch her. If anything, it is much, much worse. You're not giving up on us, whatever we are, for some great love. You're canceling it for some sick need to get back at your father. And yes, falling into Milton's arms would have been wrong. But wrapping your arms around Lily is nothing short of disastrous. So don't you dare lecture me."
"The asshole fucked my feet."
"Yes, I heard. Many, many times. So what if he did?" I cut him off, balling my hands into fists. "Him doing something wrong doesn't give you the right to do something even worse." I pushed his chest. Jesus Christ, what was I doing?
"Jesus, filing his nails. Using my name to excuse yourself of bad behavior, as per usual."
"He was the one who sent Phoenix to Syria. He was the one who insisted we keep it from her and keep them apart. But somehow her death is my fault?"
He yelled in my face, as if I was the one accusing him.
"Fuck that."
"Stop the blame game, Celian. Every relationship you touch wilts. Every connection you make perishes. I don't want to burn. I want to flourish. I deserve to bloom." I turned around again, heading for the station. This time, he grabbed my wrist so hard I thought he was going to yank my arm off. I think he realized it, too, by the way he withdrew his hand quickly and gathered me into a hug. A hug I wanted to reject, but chose to drown in. A hug I knew would catch me the right way if I ever fell, from a man who'd made no promises to be there when I needed him. I wrapped my arms around his body, he buried his face in my hair, and for a few long seconds, we didn't say anything, Every bad feeling was crushed between our pressing chests.
"Weren't you the one who said you can't fall in love?"
he sneered after a few beats, cocking his head sideways.
"What happened to that?"
"Doesn't mean I don't care."
"I care."
He took a step back, slapping his fist over his chest.
"I should have been spending time with your father today. Instead, I took you on a goddamn date."
He spat the word out like it was poisonous. "I couldn't even deal with the idea of him hanging out with my dad on a regular basis. When did that start happening?"
"Know when the last time I took someone on a date was? 16. Pretty sure I did that for a hand job. Since then, I don't have to try. I've never tried."
I snorted, too aware of the fact that an audience had gathered around us. "Should I feel special right now?" His jaw locked, and his eyes darkened, like he'd remembered who he was, who I was.
"At least have the decency to be honest with yourself, Chucks. You don't want me to care. You want me, period."
I turned around and gave him the one thing he did not unrightfully yet claim. My back.
"All I'm saying is, he's like a half-priced facelift in an unregistered clinic in Eastern Europe. I would still do it, even knowing it's deadly."
Grayson tossed a piece of romaine lettuce into his mouth and chewed loudly. We were sitting at Le Cocktail on our lunch break. Me, him, Ava, and Phoenix. It had been a few days since my failed date, or whatever that was, with Celian, and in a moment of weakness I'd decided to confide in my close friends about the affair. Although, suffice it to say, they'd already had a pretty good idea.
"Trust me, girl, we can all see Celian's appeal."
Ava sucked hard on the straw swimming in her glass of Diet Coke. "But consider it your official intervention. After we got a first-row seat to the shit show called your relationship, I can honestly say you need to put a lid on that thing before your crazy starts to simmer." I bumped my fists together twice, friend style. "I'm not crazy." I was 70% sure of that statement. Ava clucked her tongue.
"Neither was Lily. I think it's something about the Laurent dick. They make their women unbalanced.
I heard Sirion's mother is not the sanest either." "We're casual," I tried another tactic. Gray pouted and rolled his eyes.
"Is that why he casually claimed your ass a la Khal Drogo saving his princess from an army of savages when you had lunch on our floor last week? Admit it, you've got your boss pussy spelled."
"That's not a word," Phoenix pointed out, pointing his sandwich at Grayson.
"But it damn straight should be."
"What do you think?" I turned to Phoenix. I knew Celian had paid him a visit the other day, and I knew he'd ordered him to stay away from me, beyond platonically. A part of me was furious with Celian, and another hoped what I thought he couldn't admit to himself, that I wasn't the only person falling around here, and he, too, didn't have a parachute to save him from the plunge.
"It's just sex. It's just a distraction. You can't fall in love.
You've never fallen in love." Phoenix bit the inside of his cheek.
"Are you high?" Ava asked. "Phoenix and Celian hate each other."
But Phoenix looked up and told me point blank,
"I think you're his atonement. He wants to save you, but you're the one who needs to save him."
I did a double take, placing my roast beef sandwich on my plate. He looked serious.
"I've known Celian for a few years now, since before I started working at LBC. I've seen him and Lily together, even when they were really together."
He lifted his chin, his voice cracking.
"Celian looks at you the way I looked at Camille. Like he would burn the world for you. Just because he doesn't want to recognize it doesn't make it any less true. If the rumors surrounding him and his family are correct..."
He averted his gaze to Ava and Gray, and that's when I knew he knew about Lily and Celian's father, probably through James Townley, who had his hand and ears everywhere in the LBC building.
"Then Celian's trust in people is non-existent, and rightly so. He is calloused, distrustful, and hardened, but he is also screwed, and he knows it."
"He's never going to leave Lily, is he?" I rubbed my forehead, feeling a looming headache pushing at the back of my nose.
"He might. No. Yes."
The three of them spoke in unison. And that's when I chose to laugh instead of cry.
That day, I made sure I avoided Celion in the newsroom. He was business as usual, taking Elijah and a few other men to lunch, and then disappearing in and out of the 60th floor for meetings all day. When I got back home, I threw some chicken nuggets in the oven and took a box of mac and cheese out of the cupboard. I was in no mood to fix myself something fresh. Dad, however, had been eating a lot healthier since the experimental program had begun. They sent him special meals to complement his treatment. I untied my rain jacket and threw it on the couch after I started hot water on the stovetop, kicking my shoes into the hallway. "Dad?" I called. I checked the living room, bathroom, and then his bedroom. He wasn't there. Groaning in frustration, I texted him. "Where are you? When will you learn to give a girl a heads up when you're gone? I'm worried." And selfish, I inwardly bit out. Having Dad around was convenient. I could coddle him all I liked, essentially forgetting about Celion and his looming wedding. My phone flashed with a text message immediately. "Dad, sorry, at Mrs. Hawthorne's. Please feel free to come upstairs. She made cherry pie." I shook my head, laughing to myself. Could my father be falling in love at the same time I was falling apart? Could his sick body experience something my healthy one couldn't feel? "Have fun, and send her my love." "Dad."
"Will do, sweetie. Maybe she can make some more pie this weekend and we can invite Milton?"
I decided that there was enough heartbreak to go around between all of us, so I kept the lie alive, though it nearly killed me. "I'd like that, Dad. A lot."
Chapter 14. Celion. As far as I was concerned, Crazy had a smell. It was flowery body lotion and Chanel No. 5, and it diminished my appetite the minute it crawled into my nostrils through the open door of my office. The day had been shitty to begin with. Judith was working hard on giving me the best fucking leads to land on my desk in the past year while simultaneously avoiding me. I wanted to marry Lily slightly less than I wanted to fuck a cactus on live television. I knew it would bring a lot of joy to my father to know I'd given up on world domination and News Flash Corp, and that Maman would be terribly disappointed. Not because she wanted grandchildren, but because she'd have loved for me to become the next Richard Branson. Regardless, I did deserve the media mogul throne, but even I had limits. And they were currently being tested. The unbearably sweet scent was followed by a loud thump.
"Where is she?"
A manic screech pierced the silence of the entire floor. I looked up from my laptop and found my fiancée standing atop a desk in the newsroom, clad in one of her horrendously expensive rat mini dresses and Louboutin heels. Always red, always black. Lily didn't have moods. She had obsessions with looking rich. She grabbed a monitor and crashed it on the floor, sending Jessica and Elijah jumping backward with a shriek. Kate stood from her seat and galloped in Lily's direction. I stood and made my way to the newsroom, looking for Jude. She wasn't anywhere to be seen. Good. Lily wasn't above starting a catfight, but if I had to put my money on a winner, it would be Judith. "Lily," Kate said with calm authority, "if you want to leave this place without a security escort and handcuffs, I'd strongly suggest you remove yourself from the desk and stop breaking things."
"Shut up, bitch! For all I know, it's you he's having an affair with."
Lily sniffed, pointing her long fake nail at Kate. I marched into the room and stopped at the desk she stood on. The rest of my newsroom stared up at Lily like she was Moses delivering the Ten Commandments, but she didn't seem to notice me. Perhaps because she was more occupied with having a public meltdown.
"So you think Celion is having an affair?"
Kate tapped her lips, musing.
"I know he is! Someone has been coming to his building. I have eyes and ears everywhere!"
"Oh, Lordy," Kate chirped. Coincidentally or not, the desk Lily stood on belonged to Judith. I didn't know how Jude would react if she found out her monitor had been smashed by this chick, but I was going to guess Lily wouldn't be the only one screaming in this room. "Lily, you're embarrassing yourself, but more importantly, you're an embarrassment to me. Get down immediately," I commanded, snapping my fingers at her. But as I said it, I realized that it wasn't true. Lily did not embarrass me. In fact, she'd stopped triggering any type of emotion in me, and world domination just wasn't quite enough to suffer her presence, even if only on paper. We were a match made in Manhattan royalty heaven, but in the end, we'd put each other through hell, and in this very moment, I was done, If that meant I was going to be a little less rich and a little less ruthless, I was willing to make that sacrifice to get rid of this pest. Because even Lily's dear family wasn't enough anymore. They weren't mine. They'd never be mine.
Who is she, Celion?
She stomped her foot on Judith's notebook, denting the pages and creating a hole right in the middle. My teeth slammed together, locking my jaw so a curse wouldn't come out.
Do you love her? Do you?
She whined. I took my phone out, done with her games.
You'd call security on your fiancé?
She raised her arms in wonder, and her lack of panties showed. She was naked underneath the dress, no doubt for me. On the fucking Pope, if he interfered with my staff's work. Last chance before you spend the next few hours in jail, I said dryly. People behind me chuckled and whispered. I hated that we were a spectacle, but I liked that she'd played right into my hands. She'd just provided me with a golden opportunity to dump her ass with little to no social consequences, and Judith wouldn't think it was about her. Because it wasn't. Judith was just a fuck. A brilliant fuck, but nonetheless a disposable one. Lily lowered herself with a groan, sliding her ass to the desk and scooting down. She landed on her heels with a whimper and ran toward me, throwing her arms over my neck and weeping into my shirt.
Why, Celion? I thought we were getting better. And now I have to hear that my fiancé is taking a new girl places? That she visits this building?
I should have been disturbed by the amount of information Lily was privy to. But after all, her entire life consisted of sitting around in coffee shops and gossiping. For all I knew, she had socialite friends living in my building. I retrieved Jude's notebook and pocketed it. Apologize to Kate and get into my office. Kate stood behind Lily and shook her head, telling me I shouldn't let her get away with it.
But she hates me!
Lily stomped her feet, whining.
Can't deny that.
Kate lifted her hands in surrender, and everyone laughed. I looked around the human circle that had formed around us and realized everyone in it looked at Kate with love and Lily with sheer disgust. As far as they were concerned, she was a spoiled little bitch, and as far as they were concerned, I endorsed that kind of behavior. I would berate someone for days for making a grammatical error in a news report, yet I was choosing to marry someone who thought "yaz" was a word. Inside my office right now, I murmured through gritted teeth. We turned and made our way to the hallway, and that's when I saw Judith standing at the entrance of the newsroom, still clutching her phone to her ear. She was on a call, probably something Syria-related. We were running a primetime special about it this weekend, and she'd been working extra hard to get all the numbers and statistics. Her eyes ping-ponged between me and Lily for about 10 seconds before she took a step aside and let us through. Lily scowled at her, then barked.
What the hell are you looking at? You're the prime suspect, bitch!
Huh?
Judith's eyebrows shot up. She ended her call and tucked her phone into her pocket.
What is she talking about?
I'm talking about the woman who's been keeping my fiancé up all night.
But she never got to finish that sentence, because I pulled her into an embrace like she was an animal in captivity, slapping my hand over her mouth and dragging her into my office. Judith turned a nice shade of tomato red, her eyes widening in alarm. Back to work, Humphrey, I barked.
Yes, sir,
she said. But her voice flatlined, delivering the news that I was in even deeper shit than I'd previously thought. In my office, Lily threw her body over the couch and began to sob.
It's the blonde girl, isn't it? She looks like a homewrecker. All sweet and pretty with her please save me cheap outfit and Converse. Who wears fucking Converse with a dress?
Judith Humphrey does, and it makes me so hard I'm pretty sure the rest of my body turns anemic. Shut up, I ordered, bracing myself against my desk and staring her down. I swear the teenaged version of her I'd dated over a decade ago had been sane. Shallow, but sane. Then again, when you're a teenager, you're not looking for a great intellectual opponent. Her ass and agreeable nature had been enough to keep me satiated for the first decade of our relationship.
You know I can find out with little to no effort, right?
She perked up on the black leather couch, sniffing again. Her mascara ran down her cheeks in thick streaks, and it made her look like Alice Cooper, not to mention that her dress was more appropriate for a Vegas strip club than a newsroom. She unwrapped said dress, flashing me her tits and pink pussy. That won't be necessary, and neither will strip teasing. I deadpanned. Her eyes brightened.
Does that mean you're getting rid of her?
Not her. You. I said simply. We stared at each other for a few seconds while she digested this information, her face transforming from agonized to amused. Did she not understand English? Why was she so smug?
You can't break up with me. What about Newsflash Corp?
I'll live without it. Getting rid of you is top priority. Put some clothes on. She stood up and shoved my chest, not moving me an inch.